Lovely to see everyone here this morning. You're most welcome. You can open your Bibles, those who have Bibles, at the book of Acts chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 16. Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that, Holy Spirit, you would come and guide us into your truth. And that you would speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. So Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they are in the town of Philippi. We read, once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. That's something we do not see every day. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Yeah, sometimes it's just crazy. Yeah, we see two guys, they love Jesus. They go out in obedience. God spoke to them. He actually gave them a word to go to Macedonia. They step out in obedience. They do what Jesus told them to do. And then they get opposition. They get persecution. And they get flogged. Hulle kry letterlik 'n pak slaag. As grown men. So after that, they'd been severely flogged and they were thrown into prison, and the jailers was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, I don't know what the inner cell looked like, but I can imagine it's probably the darkest and deepest and coldest place there. And then we read this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They were not singing. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. I'm going to read up to there. This is such a fascinating piece of scripture for me. On a couple of accounts, one, there are so many miracles that happen here. We see someone being delivered of a demon. We see them being flogged for their obedience. We see them praising God in prison, which is a miracle in itself, after they had been flogged. And then we see the doors opening up and them escaping. And I've heard a couple of people share on this text, and myself have also read it like this in the past, that, you know, they were probably very negative after they had been beaten up. And then they went into the cell and it took them half a day to just change their attitude and start singing at the end of the night. You know, because that's probably what I would have done. I would have been quite negative. And then as as you would be after being traumatized like that, they were probably cold. And friends of mine, they would say, yeah, they probably If you're in prison like that, you would be mega negas, very negative. It would be very bad for you. But then my father-in-law said this thing. He said the other day, we were speaking about this text, and he said, but what if it was contrary to that? What if they praised God because they really experienced His presence in the midst of that circumstances? What if God's presence was so evident within that, that these guys started to praise God in that prison cell because they experienced the peace of His presence in the midst of that dark dungeon with their hands cuffed? I don't know what it looked like, but it must be quite uncomfortable to sing as if you're going to start scrumming any moment. But what I want to speak about is a lifestyle of praise this morning. The picture that I had in preparation was just two things, that God wants to touch our hearts and He wants to touch our eyes. Not physically, meaning if someone has a heart disease or can't see properly, God can heal you as well. But I mean spiritually and emotionally, God can change our hearts and He can change our eyes to see things from His perspective. So I'm going to get to this. What is praise? Praise means to speak well of God with exuberance and enthusiasm to others and or to Him because of what He has done for us and who He is. This is out of the Bible School 101, literally, Shofar's Bible School 101. I took this from there. For the old Shofarites, you would know this, but what does it look like? In today's terms, we don't necessarily, if we think about praise in church, people would think, okay, that's probably the fast songs, you know, the upbeat songs, and then the slower ones are worship. That's actually not the case yet. In our everyday lives, when do we get praise? I'm going to read a couple of examples. Okay. Yeah. Here's a couple of examples of praise. Whoa, look on your arm. He's a machine. He really is amazing. Yes, Esther. Wow. So much skill. Sounds familiar? That guy's class. Yeah. Or perhaps sometimes you would refer to someone and they have a daughter and they would say, yo, but she's mooier as a mens, or she's built squin. She's so beautiful, pretty. That's also a form of praise. No? Am I the only one that can relate to these examples? Okay. Or that guy at our workplace, he is extremely intelligent. Yo, he is so clever. He's excellent at what he does. His work ethic is just unbelievable. And so we sometimes praise people in different contexts. We speak well of them because of what they've done. Oftentimes it's because of what people have done, their performance, but also sometimes because of who they are. All right, their character. The opposite is also true. The opposite of praise. It's fault finding, it's complaining, it's being bitter. That, as South Africans, we also know quite well. How are you? No, I'm great. But my tax return is due. Whoa, SARS is robbing us blind, eh? Am I again the only one who can relate? Okay, Eskom is so terrible. This load shedding has taken over our lives. This country will never recover after COVID. The economy, you know, and we should all move to Canada and Australia. That is also the reality, seeing what is wrong, seeing the worst in the situation, seeing the worst in people, only looking at the poor performance or the things they had done wrong. So those are the two sides of the spectrum. Then we see in Scripture, what does it tell us which side we should be on? In many occasions, Scripture commands us to praise God. Why would Scripture command us to praise God? Because He's worthy? Does it change His worth, the fact that we praise Him? Does it change His character? Does God desire our praise? Yes, He desires our praise because He loves us. Does God need our praise? Then why does it command, why does Scripture command us then to praise Him? Do we need praise? What does praise do to us? Psalm 150 says, praise Him for His mighty acts. Again, what He had done, and praise Him according to His excellent greatness, who He is. Why does Scripture command us to praise? Number one, I want to say, because our words carry power. What does it mean? Jesus, in Matthew 15, He speaks to the Pharisees. They tell Him, no, you're not allowed to eat things with unclean hands. Or He says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, verse 18, and this defiles a person. So He speaks of the things that come out of our mouths, our words, is a reflection of what is happening in our hearts. So words are powerful. Words can be like a thermometer. If you want to know what the condition of someone's heart is, or of your heart is, what have been the things that you've been praising or reflecting on? That's the negative. The positive, so our words reveal what is in our hearts. Like a thermometer measures temperature, our words can be indicative of the condition of our hearts. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So God wants our thoughts to be aimed at what pleases Him, the pure things, so that we can see Him, see life from His perspective, see the goodness of God in our present-day realities. To the Philippians, I mean, that is actually the town where these guys got jailed. It wasn't like everything was just perfect there and they had heaven on earth. You know, they were under Roman rule. There were people who were being crucified if they disobeyed the Roman government. There were people that were enslaved. They had economic trouble as well. They also had their fair share of issues. Yet in those circumstances, the command is, brothers, to the church, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and commendable, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What do we deem to be worthy of praise currently in our lives? I'll be honest, if I reflect, if I take time and I, because I've been doing this, sit and I ask God, but what is it that is worthy of praise? Remind me of these things. At times I struggle. I can say 10 things that trouble me. I can say a lot of negative things. I can say things that make me bitter, or that affects me in a negative way. It takes discipline to see the things that are praiseworthy at times. All right, secondly, it's a matter of life and death. Why God commands us to praise Him. The book of Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm not going to linger too much on that text. It means if we speak life, we can eat life. That's the fruit of speaking life. The opposite is also true. If we speak death all the time, we'll eat the fruit of speaking death. What does that look like? I don't necessarily know. I do know that what the next scripture says. Why does God command us to praise Him? Because our mouths can steer our hearts towards God. It's quite a longer text. I'm going to read this. It's not on the slides. James 3 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that he who teaches will be judged more strictly. That's encouraging. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone is never at fault in what they say is perfect.
able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal with a bit in the mouth. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilots want to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That's the negative side of it. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. We have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Just want to zoom in on the middle part. If you read that and you haven't felt convicted, you can read it again. A massive boat is steered by a small rudder. As our tongues are indicative of what is in our hearts, our tongues can be a thermometer that measures the temperature of what's happening in our hearts. Our tongues can also be thermostats. A thermostat, it measures the temperature, but it has the ability to change it. It has the ability to change it. When we speak well of God in our current circumstance, it has the ability to steer and direct our lives and our hearts. That is why God commands us to praise Him. Another reason. For believers, our words has power to stir faith and usher us into encounters with God. Number four, praise opens our eyes to see God. Very simple. God is already present. Perhaps, Paul and Silas became aware of the presence of God that was already there when they praised Him in that prison. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "You are holy." Let's do the Shakespeare version. "Thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." Inhabits the praises of Israel. Another translation just says, God inhabits the praises of His people. I remember at Convergence, I think it was in 2013 or 12, Jeremy Riddle was here. He's a worship leader at Vineyard at the moment, or in Anaheim. But he said this. He said, praise is the one activity on the face of the earth that God promises to inhabit. Is it that God is not present when we do other things? Always there. He's always present in our lives. When we praise God, we become aware of His presence in a place. It's almost like we zoom in on His presence. It's almost like a hot box, nah? Is that, it's not an offensive thing. God, when we praise God, He inhabits our praises. The one activity. That is a crazy verse. And then number five, praise lifts heaviness. In Isaiah 61 verse 3, we read that God gives us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, And then it says a lot of things to give a garment of praise for the spirit of despair or heaviness. A garment of praise for the spirit of despair and heaviness. That garment, a garment is something you can put on and that you can take off. And there's a place where we can take off the spirit of heaviness and things that are negative, the bitterness, the things that are weighing us down, casting us down. And we can put on the spirit of praise, the garment of praise that opens our eyes to the presence and the goodness of God in our current circumstances. So this is a short message. We're going to end in this way. I want to share a bit of a story with you guys. Maybe I can share more than one, but I'm going to start with this. In 2015 was our first year of marriage. And at that stage, we went through quite a difficult season. You know, sometimes maybe you won't know, but some of you might know. Sometimes in a marriage, there are things that is out of your control, but it can create conflict. It might be a job situation. It might be a relational thing. It might be finances. But we were in a space where there was kind of friction all the time. And the more you try to sort it out, the more friction it created. And it reached a point where I felt hopeless. I doubted my identity. And at that stage, I was in ministry already. So you are like, you're ministering to people, but then inside you feel like scrambled eggs. And I remember one night we were talking and you hear each other, but you don't feel like there's a breakthrough. That was what we felt like. And also, I must say this, your boss is also your pastor at that stage. The best counselor I know is my father-in-law. Not the best idea to share it with him necessarily and chat everything through. So we didn't know who should we share this to. I mean, I'm new to Cape Town. So it was difficult. And that night, I sat on our balcony there in King Street in Durbanville, and I was praying, and I just told God, I don't know what to pray, but I do know this, I need encouragement. I can't go on just doing the same things and there's no breakthrough. I need encouragement. And it was about 11 at night, probably between 11 and 12, and I get a phone call at that moment from a guy. We weren't friends at that stage. We weren't that close. He gives me a phone call. He says, I don't want to bother you, but I just felt the Lord wake me up and tell you to encourage you. That was the words. And I knew God was present in the situation, and I had a reason to praise God. And it changed my whole perspective on the situation, and we got a breakthrough there, and the whole situation changed. Just because of the realization that God is present in that moment, my heart changed, my perspective changed, and it was a matter of time and the situation changed. Not necessarily the physical circumstances, but I changed within the situation because I knew God was present. That was a moment that I encountered God. His presence was real there. I didn't have to sing for it to come. It was already there. But my eyes were opened to God's presence in that situation. In this room, people have had various encounters with God. Things that He had done. We're going to turn to one another in groups of three or four, no more. If we're five, we do a 3-2 split. And we're going to share with one another moments that you have encountered God. You can think of a time when you felt close to God, or a time where you had an encounter with God. It might be in quiet time, it might be in a situation, it might be in any way that is something you can share with one another. Don't have to be super long. You can do like the 1 to 2 minute version. So I'm going to give us 8 minutes. And if you're struggling, share something that you're very grateful for. That can also be, what are you grateful for in this time? All right. So let's do that. God, I thank you for the testimonies that are present in this room, Lord, what you have done in the past. And Jesus, I pray as we hear each other's stories, Holy Spirit, that you would remind us about times that you were present, things that you had done, about who you are this morning, and that this would stir faith within our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So while people are finishing up, I want to have perhaps a nominee or two from each group. Not each group, but we're going to ask 3 or 4 people that you know this story stirred faith in the group. All right, so now is the time that you can throw your friend under the bus. If you don't have confidence to share, and it can be short, but it would be very encouraging if we can have a couple of testimonies. I give you a moment or two, yes. But let's just wait for another person or two. Perhaps one of the older people would also be wonderful. Steve. Someone else.
Transition that we go through and the dips and the valleys and how we sometimes struggle just to give thanks and that. And it's just that we need to. And so we push on and we know that the different stages in life. So, we need to just keep giving thanks even in those moments.
Yeah.
I just have a story from this week. I hope I'll be wise with what I say in terms of the streaming, but I've just been put in quite a difficult position at work. There's a bit of a fallout with leadership people, so I've sort of been left alone on a lot of projects and things like that. And on Thursday morning, I was just overwhelmed with bitterness and also anger of the situation. Just feeling sort of, you're the young guy, you just do all the work that nobody else has to do. And I couldn't even read Bible, I couldn't even pray or anything. I was just so overwhelmed with anger and I started to work. And then my friend, Avi, is also in church here, he sent me a WhatsApp that morning about something that happened on a mission that I led in 2017 in Plett Ridge, a mission to Plett Ridge, where I shared on a verse in Matthew 8 about Jesus having compassion on someone and healing the person, but specifically focused on that the healing is amazing, but just the compassion that Jesus had. And in that moment, it was it really touched my heart, but because I was put in this situation, I had to really put in strong boundaries in terms of I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that. And I really had to sort of put my foot down at work. And I think it was bothering me that I was thinking that I was maybe being unloving or uncompassionate or something like that. And just through that simple WhatsApp, it was just that God was confirming that I'm not being harsh or critical or cold. And I'm really not that good friends with him, and we don't ever really speak on WhatsApp or something like that. So, and that just really changed my whole perspective that sometimes in work we have to make hard decisions, and it was just good to know that God was affirming that I wasn't being rude or uncompassionate. Yeah.
Hi. Theo did say that we must think of times when we really felt the presence of the Lord, and it was life-changing, and he said hopefully it will be encouraging. Well, in my life, there's only been one such occasion. That was 42 years ago when I was serving the world, and I was involved in many, many evil things. And I wasn't certainly not looking for the Lord. In fact, to me, it was a fairy tale, and all I did was mock it because it was so stupid. And I was a very heavy drinker. I was drinking 2 to 3 bottles of brandy every day of my life, 7 days a week. And I was working on the railway, and at night I worked as a part-time barman in a hotel. And I came home one night, and I'd already had 2 bottles of brandy. And I was getting changed, ready to go to the hotel, when there was a knock on my door. And 2 guys were standing there, and they said, "Can you give us just 5 minutes of your time?" And I said, "Yeah, all right, come inside." And they came in. And they started telling me about this man called Jesus. And that night, it was different. It wasn't just a story. It was a life. It was a truth. It just, as Theo said, my eyes were opened and my ears were opened, and I felt the Lord there. And I got down on my knees, and I asked the Savior into my life. And I stood up a matter of seconds later, and I knew that I'd been delivered. I knew I was stone cold sober for probably the first time in over 20 years. And I knew that I'd been delivered. I was involved in many, many evil things, but I knew I was delivered from all of them. I didn't understand what kind of God could do this, and it forced me to try and get to know him. Who is this God could take this rotten, evil being and in seconds say, "Delivered, saved, you are changed, you are accepted, whiter than snow"? And it was so impossible that I've spent the last 42 years trying to understand it. So I've had only one encounter, but it's lasted so far for 42 years. It's never ended. I've had 24 hours a day with this encounter. And I just hope it does encourage people, as Theo said, to know that even in the darkness, even before you've accepted him, he's always there, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I want to encounter Jesus in a way that has an effect on my life for 42 years, because then we know it's Jesus. It's not just good ideas. It's not just modification of behavior. When we encounter God, we are transformed. We are transformed. I want to give chance perhaps for one more person, and then we're going to worship God.
Morning, everyone. When was it, 2013, I was on a mission trip, and we were in Nepal, and I remember the one day there was off time, and I was really trying to connect to God, but at that time in my life I was really, really striving a lot for God's presence, really feeling that I had to earn I guess his love and things, and I was really trying hard to pray, and that didn't feel like I was connecting to God. I was trying to read my Bible and trying to worship, and everyone else I think was also just taking the afternoon off and actually just relaxing a bit. So later in the evening, when we had just as our team, we were a team of four, when we just had time of praise again, I just shared with the team that I was really just struggling to connect with God and just not feeling, I don't know, just feeling I wasn't connecting to Him and so on. And the team very compassionately prayed for me. And during that time, God actually gave each of the three people a word of knowledge for me. So I had three words of knowledge. And it was just so special how God shared pictures from my childhood about things that just didn't make me feel at home in my own house. But how God actually showed positive pictures about it. So I actually can't remember all of them, but I know the one was just saying that you've got a room of your own in the house, a room that you can choose how to decorate. And the other one was a place at the table where your name is engraved on the chair, and this is your place. And things where God just really showed me that I am welcome in His house. And at that moment, it just changes everything. You know, I just felt that I didn't have to worship. I didn't have to read my Bible, but I wanted to. It wasn't something I had to do to get to God or something, because God just loved me so much. That was just so special. And that had carried through my entire life. Every now and again, when I want to strive again, God reminds me of those words that He had given me.
Awesome.
Good morning. Some of you already know this story, but I can't stop sharing it because God is so great. So last month, my husband and I went to Angola to some missionary friends of us to present a counseling course there. And for those of you who know me and who already visited our house will know that I'm one for very order, cleanliness, and you know, that kind of environment. And I knew I had to step out and going into not comfort zone, but to what extent I would not know. I would find out, but I was trusting God with all of that. So when we get to the mission base in Angola, obviously being in Africa, and Africa consists of dust and dust and dust. And because of a lot of things happening on a mission base, there's not always enough hands to keep everything tidy the way me, Marion, would like it to be. And if I say that things wasn't clean there, I mean it wasn't clean. I think to more than just my standard. So, getting there, I was quite overwhelmed with the way they welcomed us. And when we got into the room that they gave us for the next 2 weeks, obviously a part of me noticed that there's a lot of dust, it's not clean at all, and they've got a problem with, they've got a plague of small cockroaches crawling all over, as well as when you sit long enough, the mice would run by. So I just knew that you know, this is not my comfort zone. So I went to bed, and that night, when I was dreaming, God actually also gave me a vision of how that place, that whole area, the mission base is on a farm outside of a big town. He gave me a vision of how that place looked like 18 years ago, before the two missionaries there started the place, and what has been built up in that 18 years, and what is happening from that base right throughout in Angola, in the spiritual realm. And that next morning, when I woke up, it was as if I was more comfortable there than at my own home. It was as if my soul was in a space where it could breathe more easily than here with all the bling and the order and everything we've got. And that was just God. I was so at ease. I didn't mind the cockroaches running over the dinner table. I was just like going like that. And I didn't mind the mice joining me for my prayer time at all. and that is only God.
Last story, Nyameka.
I was sitting there, I was like, I don't want to get up, I don't want to get up. But this morning I got to think about, I actually don't share this story quite a lot. I was a student at UWC and we had an outreach, an evangelism outreach. And I was actually organizing it and all the posters were out there. And normally at an outreach would get between 50 and 100 people. And so it was Friday, the outreach was then. And at 4:30, we didn't have any money. We were supposed to buy food, supposed to buy coffee for everybody, but we didn't have any money. I remember another leader with me, I said, let's go pray. We went to pray. We had no cent whatsoever. And then we went there, and then I don't know how he found the money. Up until this day, I don't know how he found the money. But that day, we had an outreach. Everybody ate. It was just an amazing time. We shared the gospel, and people ate. And I stood at the back there, and I was like realizing that we had to turn people away. But we didn't have to turn people away that evening. Because I don't even know how it came, but there was money for food. And people came together, and we ate. And there was an outreach.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks for everyone who shared. I'm trusting the Lord that we can really just create space now till the end of the service just to posture our hearts and praise God in our current circumstances. And trust that he would come and meet with us and encounter us so that we can see things from his perspective. If any of the testimonies resonated with you, this is now the time. Let's stand. Let's do that. Perhaps we can just start in our own words. We can declare to God, God, Lord, you know my current circumstances. Lord, you know what I'm going through. Even as the people had shared, perhaps there are some things that you trust in God to encounter you in specific areas. And this morning, let's remind ourselves of who God is and what he has done. And then we can bring those things before him and trust that he can encounter us there. So Jesus, you are the faithful one. Lord God, you are the one who saves, Lord, as we have heard. How you can encounter us and our lives are transformed forever, Lord, like when Steve. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one who provides for us, even though we do not know how, Lord, you did it, Father. But you are faithful, Lord God. We thank you that you give us a place at your table, Lord, that we can come, Lord, that we are accepted and celebrated, Lord, by you. Lord, knowing that we can freely come, Lord, we do not have to strive to come into your presence, Lord God, but that you accept us and that you love us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the one who validates us, Father God, that you, Lord, you show us, Lord, your justice, Lord, in every situation, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you would come and bring your truth as we worship you now. Perhaps just in a couple of moments, just bring your own circumstances at the moment before the Lord in your own words.